So I was asked to speak on the topic related to deity worship. So Om Agyanti Mirandasya Chananjanan Shalakaya Takshuran Militandina Tashmaya Shri Guru Indamaha Jaya Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garata Shiva Shari Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, Srila Prabhupada wanted the deity worship to be systemized in ISKCON. He said, very soon I will send one book, but which he never sent. And many devotees thought that was probably going to be the Archana Parati from his Keshav Gaudiya Math, where Prabhupada took sannyas. Anyway, Prabhupada never sent the book. But anyway, later on he asked Chaitanya Prabhu and maybe others to give an Archana Padati that was like systematic. He wanted deity worship systemized in ISKCON, so we're all kind of following the same process, more or less. Of course, there's always going to be difference in small details in every temple you go to. But basically, he wanted a systemized process for ISKCON. Then later on it became the Pancharatra Kripa Deepa, which was published by the GBC Research Group, Atatva, Bhaktivedya Purnaswami, Panaswami, Chamunda Devi, etc. And now Nrisimha Kavacha Prabhu, who is the deity worship minister, he has kind of revised that a bit and made it a bit more bit more easier to use, I guess. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 24, text 332, I think, Prabhupada is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami to write the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And so he says you should describe and how to offer the artic treat and bhog offerings at least 5 times a day, offer artics and according to the list of different ingredients, 5, 10, 12, 16 upacharas or 64 upacharas. Anyway, it spreads out into it can expect, 16 is the main. 16 upachara. Upachara means item. That's kind of the basic worship, standard worship that more or less everybody follows this process. And then that can expand out to 64, as Prabhupada mentions in his purport. And it doesn't even stop there. You can expand more and more. like a temple, and it's gone public temple, then if you can maintain just these 16 upacharas, that would be a basic standard. Because like everybody follows this standard, all the famous deities of the world, like Jagannath, will follow that standard. Much more, of course, Jagannath more or less sets the standard for deity worship in the universe. It's very elaborate worship. And Prabhupada mentions in that purport that, because some people say, well, why don't you just stick to Prabhupada's simple formula? Why is the need for all these introduction of different rituals and mantras and things like that? But in the purport, Prabhupada said, as far as arti is concerned, there should be a change of dress and flowers. So you have 6 artis every day, so it means 6 changes of dresses and 6. So that's I know Rukmini have a very high standard. They're 3 times 2 day dresses, isn't it? Morning and afternoon is a very high standard. But Jagannath has about 6 changes every day. So, okay, if we want to follow Prabhupada's simple formula, then it likely needs 6 changes of dress every day. So I asked Srila Prabhupada one time about this fifth upachara is asana. And I asked him, could he explain what it means? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, there is an asana. And this asana is for the spiritual master. And the spiritual master, the disciple, you can offer the bhoga there. And the spiritual master, he will offer to his spiritual master. He will offer to his spiritual master. Like this, he said, it will go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. He said, this is the system, parampara. So, in the way Prabhupada established, it's also quite unique, actually. Like this process of offering bhoga, he said there is an asana. The asana is for this, and you invite the spiritual master to the asana. So that's like the standard. But generally, in the other Archana Padatis, and you know, in other temples and things, you know, non-ISKCON temples, they generally put asana for Krishna and they directly invite Krishna to the asana. But Prabhupada said, though, we first offer to the Guru, and the Guru, he will offer it up to his Guru, to the parampara. Of course, those who offer to Krishna directly, they must have worshipped Guru before. That is a system. Otherwise, Krishna says he doesn't like to accept the worship. If Guru is not worshipped first, then Krishna doesn't like to accept the worship. So what they do in some temples, like in the Madhava Sampradaya, they have a separate room for it, like Madhavacharya, and they will go and do the service, puja first, and Madhava, and then they'll go into the deity room. And then they'll like worship the deity directly because they've already worshipped Guru. But Prabhupada's kind of combined everything. I guess it's also practical in temples when there were Sankirtan temples and things like that. And different devotees are doing different artics and puja every day. So Prabhupada had us present everything first to the Guru. That was the system, and then so it's kind of a very safe system. You offer up through the parampara, and according to the system, there's one asana, so we invite the Guru, and we may have many asana, we may have an asana for each deity, or even that one asana is sufficient. So you have one asana, you invite the Guru to come, and that means his associates will come, and they'll offer to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu will come, all of his associates will come, he'll offer to Radha and Krishna. That means Radha and Krishna will come. But the asana is only like, you know, this big, little, small asana. So what is happening? If you invite Guru and then the other Guru, Parampara, then Guru, they're all sitting on each other's lap, is it? Because there's only one little asana like this. So then we have asana seen in the form of a situation. Now specifically we're talking about the bhoga asana. Offering foodstuffs to the Lord. And so when we offer to the asana, so this asana is a situation. So this asana actually is the expansion of Nityananda Prabhu, Balaram. Wherever Krishna is going to come, then Nityananda Balaram will expand. When Krishna descends in the material world, he doesn't touch the material world. So Balaram expands as Vrindavan Dham. Nityananda expands as Navadvipa Dham. Then the Lord can come. He expands as Krishna's shoes, Krishna's bed, Krishna's couch, Ananta Dev. Wherever Krishna is coming, then Balaram will expand. Or just like Krishna, Balaram first appears in the womb of Devaki, then Krishna, he spiritualizes the place, so then Krishna can come. So this asana as a situation, this is called the adhara shakti, or the accommodating potency. It's Nityananda's potency. It's the accommodating potency. It means it's only one asana this big, but so many people are sitting, and so that means it can accommodate all those. It means it can expand to accommodate whatever goes on in that particular asana, namely offering the bhoga. It means you're going to invite the Lord, you're going to wash his hands and feet, mouth, and, you know, offer the bhogas, drinking water, and then again, after you finish, you're going to wash hands and mouth, offer tambulam and things like that. So whatever it comprises of, you know, inviting someone, offering them a meal and everything like that, and to the beginning to the finish, that will all be accomplished on this asana. So we have different asanas in deity worship, bhogasan, shayanasan, or when deity takes rest, all the activities that you need to take rest, that's contained in one asana. You have the shnanasan, whatever it takes to give Krishna his morning bath, bathing, dressing, drying, polishing, oil, massage, and all those things. That's all like contained in that shnanasan. So you can break it up into different asanas of deity worship. So you have different sections of worship, and particular activities go on in each asana. So that's the idea. The accommodating potency is there of Balaram, Nityananda. The example is given of the mother's womb. It accommodates the child. The child is there. It accommodates the child, and it also nourishes the child. It accommodates the child. As the child grows, that also accommodates, and also it nourishes. The baby is being nourished simultaneously. So this is the Adhara Shakti. Another example is when Arjuna first went to Dwaraka, and he was standing on the bank of the ocean and looking over to the island of Dwaraka, and there was millions and millions of ships were plying in, because in Dwaraka there was millions and millions of the members of the Jadu dynasty. Literally millions and millions. So all their supplies were coming in by ship, all the foods and things like that. So Arjuna saw, you know, there's hundreds and thousands of ships were plying in and out. So when he crossed over to the island, and then he saw that the harbour, where there he saw all the ships going, a tiny little harbour. There's only a few boats in there. And he said, how can it be? I saw millions of ships plying in, but now I'm here, a little tiny harbour and a few boats. So this is the accommodating potency. You know. It can expand to accommodate whatever is necessary for that situation. And it's like Krishna when he ate dirt, and Mother said, let me see what you've eaten dirt. Let me have a look, Krishna. So he showed the universal dirt. And his mouth is only that big, but Krishna showed. So that's the Adhara Shakti. His mouth is that big, but it can accommodate even the whole universe. So, and not only that, then we're offering, we may only have rice and dal and some shak, something very simple. So we're offering to Krishna. If we offer to Krishna directly, then Krishna, he's going to eat the rice, dal and shak. But if we offer, you know, like to Guru first, for him to offer to his Guru, to Parampara, then they know also what Krishna likes. He has some delicacies that they may also want to offer. It's just like Radharani likes Aradal Kachuris, and Bhaktisiddhanta also, and Prabhupada also, we know he's known as Kachuri Mukhi, wasn't he? He always had some in his pocket, he would have Kachuris. He liked them when he was a little boy. So he might like to offer them also. Also, because he knows Krishna likes these things, so he may offer him on our little offering of rice, dal and shak. And then his guru, Gokishwar, may offer something, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So like this, it goes up to Gauranga, and then it goes, and finally it goes to Srimati Radharani, who offers everything to Krishna. Now Radharani, she received the benediction from Durvasa Muni, who was so pleased with her service. He said that, I give you a benediction, whatever you cook will be just like nectar. And so when Yasoda heard that, she said, no, my Krishna, he must have the best of everything. He must take that nectar food from Radharani. So Radharani, you must come to my house every day and cook for Krishna. So Jasoda has about 50 stoves in her house, in her kitchen. So Radharani is there with all of her friends, and they're all cutting sabjis and grinding spices and making everything ready. And Radharani is running from one fire to another, putting spices, stirring a little bit here, putting some ghee, and she's sweating, and she's running round and round. And all these preparations are being... So that is all offered to Krishna, because she knows how to please Krishna best. So if we just offer the rice and dal and shak to Krishna directly, then, you know, he eats our rice and dal and shak. But if we offer it through the guru first, to offer up to the parampara, then by the time Krishna gets it, you know, shukta shakaya divaji nalita kushmando dali dalna dugda tambita di mochaganda mudgabara mashabara rottika kritana shashkuli pishtaka kira puli payasana. All these nice ingredients, luchi chini, luchi, you know, puris with powdered sugar. Luchi chini sarapari ladu rasyapali bojana karena krishna hai kutahali. So all these different preparations, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in Bhogartik song. This big, big feast. You know, we're only offering rice, a dal and shak by the time Krishna gets it. If we offer it up to the Brahma, then a huge feast. This is Krishna's breakfast, actually. But we can't cook so much in the morning. We haven't had enough time. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur made it into the Raj Bhogartik. At least you can... You have more time. But actually, Krishna would take this before he went out with the cows, with this huge feast, because just so he was so worried he'll get hungry out in the fields. And so this was another kind of a unique feature that Prabhupada had introduced. Another time I asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, he asked me, how are you doing the seva? How do you perform the puja seva? And I said, well, we bring the deities down and we polish them with tilak paste, and then we bathe the deities. And he says, what mantras do you use? And I said, well, we chant Chintamani prayers, Prabhupada. Because we didn't have all these mantras, you know, like Isan, Irang, Ashanam, Kim Krishna, and all. We had none of these Mula mantras or anything like that. We just bring the bog in and put it down and sprinkle some water on it. That was it. But so Prabhupada said, what mantras do you use? I said, we just chant Chintamani prayers, Prabhupada, when we bathe in the deity. There's kind of a standard ISKCON. A standard ISKCON procedure. You chant Chintamani prayers when we do the Abhishek, even today we do. And I said, we also chant the Brahma Gayatri, Prabhupada. Before we started, actually, we would just sit in front of the deity and chant the Brahma Gayatri mantras. And Prabhupada said, oh, Gayatri, very good. Vedic, Om is there. Om, very good. Vedic mantras. And so I was giving a step-by-step explanation of what we were doing. Prabhupada was just nodding, he said. Yeah, and then I said, no, then we polish the deity, and then we dry the deities off. And Prabhupada said, yes. Then at that time, he said, you should offer tulsi to Krishna's feet, which you don't find in any other Archana Padati. Generally, they offer the tulsi after bathing, dressing, decorating, offering chandan and everything, incense. And then at that time, offering flowers and tulsi. That's generally the order in all the different Archana Padatis. The Prabhupada said, no, he said, at that time, the deity's just being bathed and polished and dried. At that time, he said, you should offer tulsi. I took it to mean, like Tulsi Devi, like Bhakti Devi. You know, Krishna's standing, he's polished and dried and he's naked, you can say. And what is the first offering? I offered Tulsi at the lotus feet of Krishna, like an offering of Bhakti. That's the first we can offer. Then you can dress and decorate Krishna. That's my own speculation, but it could be right. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was performing an 8-deity installation ceremony, so all of his disciples, they got everything ready. They were bathing and dressing the deities and decorating the deities. And that they put torchy leaves and on the Christmas feet and flower garlands. And then they called Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They said the dressing, everything's finished. So you come and you perform the pram pratistha. This is the official when they're calling the deity Krishna into the deity at that time. Generally, the acharya is calling for the. From his heart, he calls the deity, which is generally the worshipful deity of the sampradaya. So he calls the deity from his heart with some kind of mantras and holds some rice and durva grass or something. They chant mantras, and at that time, that's like the official pram pratistha. Anyway, they said, Guru Maharaj, you can come in and you can perform the pram pratistha. So he came into the deity room and he saw the deity. Then he looked on Krishna's feet and he had torsi. And so he said, oh, now I have nothing to do. It seemed like, you know, that he also seemed that was the main offering. the just offering torsi to Krishna's feet was equivalent or more than, you know, doing the official pram pratistha. And he said, actually, you don't have to polish the deities every day. He said, but it's nice if you can maintain the same standard. But anyway, deities should be bright. It shouldn't be allowed to be dull. another thing he said. He said, you can chant the prayers in your own language also, if you like. Which I was doing anyway in Mayapur. When we started, I would have to do the translations, just like we did the translation of Guru Vashtakam. So a couple of morning prayers we would chant especially the Guru Puja. And I would read the translation every day. That was my service, to read the English translation. Of course, now it's too many, maximum Bengalis in my Mayapur, so they don't need the translation. So. But anyway, it started like that, and I think many temples also copied that system. Anyway, Prabhupada, he said, you can speak to Krishna in your own language, you like, which, in according to the scriptures, you should speak to the deity in Devanagari, in Sanskrit language. But Prabhupada said, you can speak in your own language if you like. Malachadet, Malachabesha. But there is in the I think it's in the Bhavasya Purana, it is said that in Kali Yuga one saffron clad man will come and he will teach the Vedas in the language of the Malechas. So Prabhupada come and translate it. It seems like Prabhupada anyway, he translated all the Sanskrit into the language of the Malechas in English language. And he said also he will initiate by fire. So Prabhupada was initiating by fire. Everybody initiates by fire, but that's the generally when you're initiated into the Brahma Gayatris and the Gayatris of your Ishtadeva deities. So generally that's a sacrifice. But Prabhupada gave initiated by fire on first initiation, where you got the holy name, Hare Krishna. So it appears that that's Prabhupada mentioning in the, I think, Bhavasya Purana. I think that was all. One time I asked, another time, different time. I said, can Lord Chaitanya wear peacock feathers, Srila Prabhupada? He said, why not? He is Krishna. It's a little bit of a controversy now. So, but he said, why not? He is Krishna. And I said, well, sometimes the Gaudiya Math people, they are criticizing, you know, why Lord Chaitanya is wearing a peacock feather. He doesn't wear a peacock feather. And Prabhupada was very disappointed. And he didn't say anything. He just looked down. Anyway, I think the kind of mood I picked up on was like, you know, look what I'm doing. I'm picking the malechas out of the gutter of material existence, and they're wearing tilak and dhoti, and they're chanting the holy. You have to see little faults here and there. Look what I'm doing. So he was disappointed. Anyway, that's there is also different shastric references that Lord Chaitanya does wear a peacock feather that I found later. One is in the Gauranga Mahima by Advaita Acharya. And he's giving a description. It's a meditation of Lord Gauranga. And it says, in that description it says he has a peacock feather in his hair and another one over his ear. Peacock. And also, Srila Prabhupada, he told Malati Mataji that he after took darshan, he said, why Lord Chaitanya is not wearing a peacock feather? And she said, oh, he should wear a peacock feather. And he said, yes. And she said, what about Nityananda Prabhu? Prabhupada said, sometimes he may wear, but Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should always wear. So, and other descriptions, there's another description in Gauranga's Nitya Leela. After the light morning program, Bhagavatam class, Japa, our morning program is based on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program. Prabhupada made it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he'd take a bath in the Ganga early morning, and then he'd come back, they would do Japa, and they would have a Srimad Bhagavatam class every morning, and then greet the deities. Adoksaja Vishnu was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father's worshipful deity. So when Jagannath Mishra left the planet, then the son had to take over the duty. So Mahaprabhu was taking over the duty, so he would worship, or at least he tried to worship the deity. But there were so many tears were coming from his eyes. On his cloth, he thought, I can't worship the deity because tears, anything from the body is considered impure from the holes of the body. So he said, my cloth is impure. So he went to change it, and again he would come back. He would start worship, and again he would cry, and oh, my clothes are contaminated. Again he would go and change. So he said, I cannot do it. So then he asked Gadadhar Pandit, do you please do the seva? So then Gadadhar Pandit used to do the seva. But anyway, the same like morning program, japa, Bhagavatam class, greeting the deities and things. So then after that, and then Mahaprabhu after breakfast, he would go out with his devotees on Harinam Sankirtan. And they would go down towards Gangadas's stall, and early morning, and they saw all the white cows and everything, and then there were peacocks, meow, meow. So Mahaprabhu was, he saw all the cows and peacocks, and it simultaneously corresponds to his Ghosh Leela in Vrindavan when Krishna takes all the cows out with the boys. So it's the same time it corresponds. Navadvipa Vrindavan are non-different. So then he gets into a mood of Ghosh or cowboy Krishna Mahaprabhu, and so he starts calling out for his cows, Shamli, Dubalai, Hai, Gangai, Gangai. And all the devotees, what's happening? Oh, he's getting into mood of a cowboy. So they all get in the same mood to assist him and serve him. They all pick up sticks and they're twirling sticks. Hey, 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 hey. Calling the cows. Let's go to Govardhan. Nityananda Prabhu was imitating blowing a big buffalo horn. And they're going off like that. And their descriptions also. They and Mahaprabhu, he has the peacock feather in his head. So we have from Guru Sadhu Shastra that it's, although it sometimes gets a little bit controversial. The controversial thing is, when they say about mood, it interferes with his mood or something like that. So then when mood is bhava bhakti, Deity worship means panchvacchikividhi. They're the rules and regulations. So when you mix the two, then you come up with all these contradictions. So the deity is served according to the panchvacchiki rules. And bhava bhakti is something different. But when you mix the two, then you get these contradictions. So the way I understood was that just like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he established Radha and Krishna and Gauranga together. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Naya, none different. For preaching, to show that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna, because in outside of Bengal and Orissa, everybody was thinking Mahaprabhu is some great Bengali saint, that's all. They're not really understanding he's as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I think as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he established some Radha and Krishna and Gauranga together in practically all of his mats, all of his temples. Like in the same mood, Prabhupada established that, put the peacock feather on Krishna's head. And wherever Prabhupada went around the world, I think at that time, all the Gaunitai deities were wearing peacock feathers, but it didn't interfere with his mood. So yeah. And everyone I ask, lots of temples they don't like, famous temples. I asked Vishwamba Goswami from the Radharaman temple. He's the father of Padmanabha Goswami, the present Goswami. But he was, because Prabhupada said we can learn from Radharaman deity worship. So I actually went to learn the Maharabhishek from him. And Prabhupada said also we can learn from Govindaji in Jaipur. He said you can learn from these. So anyway, I asked him about wearing the peacock feather. He said, no. Lord Chaitanya doesn't have a peacock feather. And I said, what about tulsi leaves? Do they offer tulsi leaves? Yes. I said, why are you offering tulsi leaves? You're not going to offer a peacock feather, but you offer tulsi. Well, they're only small. They're only small. But everyone I ask who has this idea that Lord Chaitanya shouldn't wear a peacock feather, they put tulsi leaves on his feet. So it's kind of inconsistent. And another time. Pardon? Offering grains. Oh, on a codicil. It's a similar thing. Do we offer grains on a codicil? To Mahaprabhu, because there is a letter from Prabhupada that said that they should be offered a codicil, but it's a letter. Sometimes Prabhupada, we don't know his emotion when he was writing letters. he's beyond the rules and regulations, so he may have seen in letters he saw it not, and it may have been just to one person only. But if it's in his books, then we can take that as absolute. But it could be just his mood at the time when he was speaking to someone or wrote to someone. But anyway, again, it becomes inconsistent, especially for the pujaris. It's a codicil day, so or say a Janmashtami day. That means like a whole day, Gaunitai, we don't offer any grains. Right? He has to fast that because they're in the mood of bhakta, Gaunitaya bhaktas. So they're observing the codicil. So the pujari on Janmashtami like that, he doesn't offer any grains. Or a codicil. We shouldn't offer grains to Gaunitaya on that day, yeah? Should we or not? Should we offer a plate of grains to Gaunitaya or non-grain? Yeah, so that.
That's also
wrong. Of course it is. Great. Krishna doesn't fast on the goddess. So it becomes a bit inconsistent for the pujari. You know, sometimes he's worshipping Gaunitai, sometimes he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sometimes he's the devotee. So then he should come down on the next platform, on the level of the gurus, because he is bhakta. So it becomes very inconsistent. So we offer grains to Gaunitai, and also in Prabhupada Samadhi on a Kodasi we offer grains. In the Gaudiya Math they offer grains to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to Gokishodas Babji, their Samadhis. They all offer grains. The idea is Chaturupita Sri Bhagavat Prasad. The spiritual master is always offering four kinds of foodstuffs to the Lord. So the idea is when we are offering to Guru and Guranga, they are offering to Krishna anyway. So, and Krishna, he doesn't fast. So we offer grains, they're offering grains. It doesn't mean that they're going to eat the grains. If they want to observe the fasting, they can observe. They can just eat the sabjis and leave the grains if they desire. But they want Krishna to eat grains, so they're going to definitely offer grains. And it will become offensive if we don't offer grains to Krishna on a Kodasi or anything like that. So then it becomes a little bit inconsistent for the pujari. Sometimes he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sometimes he's the bhakta. So no, he's on the altar, he's standing on the same level as Radha and Krishna. We're offering tulsi leaves, and we're offering him grains so he can offer. If he's in the mood of a bhakta, then he can take the non-grains and offer his offer to Krishna. But he'll... And Srila Prabhupada also, he showed us how to worship Shalagram. In Chaitanya-mṛta, I believe, he said our ISKCON centers should worship the Shalagram Shila, where there's sufficient facility. So he told the managers at Mayapur, you should start the Shalagram Shila worship. And he said, see if you can get one Shalagram from some friend. Anyway, Jayapataka Maharaj and Baba Nanda Maharaj and myself, we went to see Srila Prabhupada. Jayapataka Maharaj got a Shalagram from somewhere. And we went to show Prabhupada. I don't know if Prabhupada knew we were coming. I don't think he did. But anyway, we went into his room in the Lotus Building. And Jayapataka Maharaj said, we have this Shalagram. So Prabhupada immediately touched his head. So, Shalagram. So he said, so then Prabhupada did a little puja. He didn't move from his desk. He didn't ask for anything, but he did a whole little puja just sitting there. And I don't even think he knew he was coming. But he had his tilak was there, and the Archman cup was there, so he made some tilak, and he had a matchbox was there, and he got a matchstick, and he drew a little face on the Shalagram, little eyes, little nose, little seagull shaped mouth, little M shaped mouth. And the little gopi dots. He said, you should do like this. You do nicely, of course. And then he had a Jayapataka Maharaj, some cloth they make for Shalagram in Shantipur. It's very, really fine silk cloth. A couple of little pieces. And Prabhupada folded it over like a dhoti. Then he turned his tilak container upside down. It was like an egg cup kind of shape. And he put the dhoti. It was fitted perfectly, the Shalagram. Then he folded the second piece and he put it around like a little chadar. And then Prabhupada took his mala off and put it on the Shalagram. And all the time he was talking, and he said the brahmanas, they carry the Shalagram in a little box or in a little thing on their neck, he said, and they go from one place to another, and then they open their little box and they keep mantra, and again they close, put him to sleep, and then they go another place, open, give mantra, again sleeping. He said, this is Shalagram puja, mantra, sleeping, mantra, sleeping. He started laughing. And he said a few other things. He said, you can offer the Tulsi Shalagram Jaldan this month of Baishak. Is it finished? Today is Purnima. So anyway, so during this month of Vaishak, you should drip water. Tulsi Shalagram Jaldan. Yeah, maybe it's too cold here for that. But in it's hot season in India, so they drip the Tulsi water on Tulsi and Shalagram. He gave me another tip. I think it's from a Vrindavan tip, because generally in the summer season, the Tulsi, if you pick Tulsi, it'll dry up and shrinkle up because of the heat. He says, so you get a piece of cloth, cotton cloth or something, make it wet, pick the Tulsi. He said, Tulsi should be picked in the morning after sunrise, and you put them on the cloth, and you have another piece of wet cloth and you put them on top. He said, like that, your Tulsi will stay fresh whole day. It won't dry up or anything like that. Anyway, he was talking, and as he was talking, that garland that Prabhupada put on the Shalagram, it fell off. It fell down. And Prabhupada said, oh, did you see? Did you see? You see? You see? He said, do you know the story of Krishna Das Kaviraj? And he went to Madan Mohanji to ask to write the Chaitanyamrita, and the garland fell off, you know? He said, this means he's accepting my service. Very good. So anyway, we started to worship the Shalagram. But nobody knew what Shalagram Srila was in those days. There were no Indian devotees. They were very shy in coming forward in the beginning. I don't blame them. We were CIA and all kinds of other things. And plus they had, you know, established... Gaudiya Mutt was there, established for so many years, and we were the Sahib Mutt. So nobody knew Shalagram, is it? Because the mostly all American devotees at that time, in the early 70s. And people were asking me, what's that? Is it Jagannath? I said, I guess he's Jagannath. I mean, he's black and he's got some white eyes. And I guess he's the Lord of the universe. And Gopal Krishna, Brahmacharya, I think that's one or two Indian devotees there. Narayan Srila. This is Krishna Srila. Oh, it's Shalagram Srila. All these different names. I was getting bewildered. We didn't know anything about Shalagram. So I went to Srila Prabhupada's room, and I knocked on the door and paid my obeisance. Srila Prabhupada, can I ask you a question? He said, yes. I said, some say the Shalagram is Krishna and some say he is Narayan. Prabhupada said, forget some say. I think he said it in the mood of, you know, because the devotees that talk to Prabhupada, some, you know what they say, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, they say, who is that? They say, he says, what is that authority? I think it was in that mood. And I said, some say Krishna, some say Narayan. Prabhupada said, forget some say. The way he said it was very heavy, so I kind of just bowed my way out. And I left. But anyway, 2 days later, he sent a message. He said, tell the pujari he should offer the flute to the Shalagram. So indicating it should be Krishna. So later on, we had some, I had some more Shalagrams. People had donated. And so this Shalagram, Gadadhar, he had a natural mouth. You know, the Shalagram, they have different lakshanas, chakras and things like that, and mouths. And so this one had a natural mouth, also an open mouth. And so I put exactly the same face that Prabhupada had drawn. I didn't want to deviate, you know, at all from the face that Prabhupada put on it when he drew the... So I put exactly the same face and little eyes and little gopi dots, little M-shaped mouth. He had an open natural mouth, open mouth, and I put another little M-shaped mouth over that and in Tilak. Anyway, Prabhupada came, because he was coming every year for Gopanima festival. So he came to take darshan the first time, and he was looking deity. And then he looked down at the Shalagram. Why he has moustache? I said, no, Srila Prabhupada, it's his mouth. He said, Krishna doesn't have a moustache. I said, it's supposed to be his mouth. I wanted to Like you showed me. No, no, he said, don't put mustache on Krishna. He doesn't have a mustache. So, Prabhupada asked me to, he gave me an instruction about deity worship. And he asked me to train other pujaris. I was sitting, he was talking to Bhavananda in Bhajan Kutir, that we only had the Bhajan Kutir. I was just sitting there listening. Prabhupada would always consult with the managers, talk with the managers. So anyway, he stops talking. He said, this Nanivas Das, he said, he's an ordinary person. He has to have help. Because I was only one pujari. Of course, there was only about 5 or 6 people there at that time anyway, in Mayapur. So. And there was only one pujari. So he said, he cannot do everything. He should have help. And then he looked at me. He said, so you train up pujaris. I said, okay. And then later on in the conversation he was with Bhavan, and he turned, again he looked at me and said, so train up pujaris. We didn't have any training or anything like that. I'd only just got Brahman initiation just before that in the Kaupo Nima. And we didn't have any mantras or anything at that time. And so I definitely would have forgotten, I think. But anyway, we were leaving the Bhajan Kuti, and I had 1 foot inside and 1 foot outside. And then I heard, train up pujaris. You hear me? I said, yes, you probably. Yeah, and then I remembered, 3 times you hear, it's good, right? For confirmed, yeah. Study the Vedas 3 times. Hare Krishna. Jayapataka Maharaj said that Shaligram Shila is worshipped according to the Pancharachiki rules. Bhagavan Shila is worshipped according to Bhav Bhakti because he's a Brajabasi. We can't approach Radha and Krishna with Pancharachiki rules and regulations. They don't accept that. They're accepting that spontaneity, that loving emotion. So Govardhan is a Brajabasi, so he's worshipped according to Bhav Bhakti. That's what Jayapataka Maharaj said. And Shaligram is worshipped according to the Pancharachiki Vidhi. Therefore, generally, it's always the Purusha Shukta Mantra, Sahasra Shusha. That is the worship of Shaligram. Whereas for Radha Krishna or Govardhan, generally they wouldn't use as Purusha Shukta Mantra. So that's the kind of. The ideal standard of worship is in the temple is that they offer the Soda Sopa Vachara, these 16 items of worship, to the Shaligram with one of the Purusha Shukta mantras. There's 16 mantras. So they offer Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat Sarabhuming Vishto Vachara Dishtata Shangulam Idong Ashanam Klim Krishnayanama. First upacara, then the next one, Om Purushaha, then the next Swagatam, then the next mantra, then Etat Padyam, then the next one. So 16 upacharas with one for each mantra. That's kind of an ideal standard. They all do that. Radharaman temple, they will do it. Jagannath will do it. Radhakantaganda in Gumbira, they will do it. Radharamanji. So that's basically the difference. Again, this is another controversial point. Um, This Haridasa Dasa, this Haridasa Bhasha, he is the best. This is a quote from Srimati Radharani, that he is the best of all bhaktas, the best of all devotees, Govardhan, because he supplies the grass for the cows and caves for Krishna to take shelter in, and fruits and things, fresh water. So there's that verse. So generally those who are just doing bhajan and they worship Govardhan Srila. But Raghunath Das Goswami, he was given that Govardhan Srila by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu would cry on the deity. Anyway, eventually he gave that deity to Raghunath Das Goswami. And he says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj, says that as Raghunath Das is worshipping, he directly sees Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also repeats it. When he is doing his worship, he directly sees the son of Nanda Maharaj, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we're worshipping as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As compared to worshipping as a bhakta, many devotees are worshipping as a bhakta. I think it gets a little bit too wacky, you know. This is Krishna, this is the dark one, this one is a whitish Srila, it's Balaram, this one is a golden, this is Radharani. Although it's mentioned in the Shastra, so then they put the eyes looking at each other and things like that. Prabhupada didn't, I don't think he would have liked, he would have liked that. According to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then he directly worships as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Raghunath Das Goswami is the Rasacharya. So if you're talking about, you know, worshipping as devotee, and Radharani is the greatest devotee, and the Govardhan takes a form and things like that. The Rasacharya, he saw directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another interesting feature of this, how we describe it. Somebody brought some Govardhan Srilas to Mayapur in 1972. And so we wrote to Prabhupada, can we worship? We have Govardhan Srila, can we put it on the altar? And Prabhupada said, no, immediately take him back to Govardhan Hill. And again, and there's other letters, and he was writing to someone in America, and he said, I have Govardhan Srila, can I worship? And Prabhupada said, when I come there, I will see and decide. And then when Prabhupada came, he said, no, he said, you don't worship. So as far as I can understand, there was no Shaligram, Govardhan Srila were being worshipped on the altar during Prabhupada's presence. Private worship was going on, but it wasn't on any altar. The only reference we have from Prabhupada, he didn't really encourage. Anyway, everyone's worshipping in Indiscon now. But at least we have that authority of Chaitanya and Raghunath Das Goswami. He directly sees the son of Nanda Maharaj, who is worshipping as Krishna. As far as Dwarka Srila, I heard that Srila Prabhupada said that they make good paperweights. But the Hari Bhakti Vilas says you can, if you worship Shaligram, Govardhan and Dwarka Srila together, you can do that. So it's there in the Shastra. But of course, Vishwanath Chakravarti says, if you want to follow in the path of the Bhagavad Vidhi, the Varg Marg, which ultimately we do, we want to come to that platform. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us Bhagavad Bhakti. If you can't accept it, then he's come to teach you Vedi Sadhana Bhakti. But primarily, he's come to give pure bhakti, pure devotional service. What was I talking about? Old walkers, yeah. He said, if you want to follow in the path of pure devotion, but rag marg, then you should give up five things. One is dwarka dhyanam, or meditation on dwarka. So if you have a dwarka shila, you'll be meditating that. So dwarka dhyanam, that's not conducive for pure bhakti. Another thing is Rukmini Puja, but of course this is Rukmini Rukmini Dwarkadis, Radha and Krishna. Mudra, Nyas, Ango, Prash, I can't pronounce the word. Identifying yourself as at least qualitatively one with the Lord. Those five things, he said, they're not conducive for pure devotional service. So people are worshipping Dwarka Shila, but at least it shouldn't be our Ishtadeva, our only deity.
Could you repeat the first one, Prabhu? Could you repeat it
The first?
Yeah, the first one.
Oh, the first one was Dwarka Dhyanam, meditation on Dwarka. Rukmini Puja. Mudra. Next one, Nyas. Next one is Hama Uprosho Gana. I can't pronounce the word. It means you're identifying yourself as qualitatively one with the Lord. We do it in puja because you're meant to understand your spiritual identity as equal to that of the Lord qualitatively. But so it's a part of sadhana bhakti, you said, but these things should be given up later on, he said. You can use them in the beginning, but they should be given up. Hare Krishna.
I have two questions. One time Srila Prabhupada was inviting the next proceeding. This is in relation to about it. Making a dilemma. So the secretary came and Prabhupada wanted him to understand. So he went to Puyari's room. He says, Prabhupada wants to do something. Prashad. But Puyari said, no, I have to offer this first. So he went back. He told Prabhupada, Puyari said, there is no offer. Then he went sending back, I want some Prashad. Spiritual master is asking for prasadam and he's going to offer them the offer. My question was, my understanding was that, the guru, we offer to the guru first when he says, or the priest, Prabhupada's person was there asking for it, but he was already offered. So he has that license as a Mahabharata of freely willing to take it, and maybe he himself can offer. My question is, do you know any other incident that might happen in that way?
Any other example? One time that Prabhupada was on the train and they were cooking samosas there. And the Guru, he said, get some samosas. And Guru Das pulls a bag of samosas and he bowed down on the station and said, Nama Om Vishnupada on the station. He come back in, Prabhupada said, not necessary on the station. Just think of the source of the samosa. What is the source of the ingredients? Just remember that the Lord is the source. But it's understood, the Guru, Chatur Vita Sri Bhagavat, he's always offering four kinds of foodstuffs. He's not going to just eat, he'll offer to Krishna anyway. And another time, it's similar, not exactly, but in Calcutta, and some of the Birla family came. They're a very prominent, rich family in India. And they came, and Prabhupada said, "So give darshan." And the pujari said, "Well, the offering is going on now, Srila Prabhupada." He said, "That's okay, open up." So then he said, "Actually, as soon as you say the mantra, that is official, it's offered at that time." He said, "You don't have to wait, you know, like we're waiting 15, 20 minutes." He said, "No, it's officially offered as soon as you say the mantra." So then he opened the curtain. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. This is the nature of bhakti. We call it the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's an ocean. An ocean isn't just one thing. Bhakti, oh, I just want to love Krishna forever. When it's all just one thing. Bhakti is constantly changing. It's up and down like the ocean. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is. And so therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he at Sri Vaishangam, he would sit on where the Shalagram sitting, he'd push, "I am he," very proud. The next moment he'd be falling at the feet of the devotees. "You're a devotee of Krishna, I have no love, please give me some." Another time he'd be dancing in him, complete ecstasy and love of Krishna. Another time he'd be holding on to the devotees' necks, crying, "Where is Krishna, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? I've lost." So this is the nature of bhakti. It's not just one. It's in constant flux all the time. So and when he's in that mood, he's doing it perfectly. He does it perfectly. When Jasoda is coming and she's got that stick in her hand, and she catches Krishna and he's shaking. His pearl necklace is rattling because he's frightened. He's not. I'm the supreme person to Godhead, and I'm going to make a show to my mother of being a little child. He is a child, and my mummy's got that stick, and she's going to beat me. I've been an offender, mummy. He is a child. But whatever he does in perfection. Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. He's playing as a bhakta. He plays in perfection. He is a bhakta. And by his example, How perfect Mahaprabhu was, and to show us as an acharya, when he took initiation from Madhavendra Ishwarapuri in Gaya, and immediately he started to experience ecstasy when he was chanting the holy names. He was initiated into Krishna's names, immediately started feeling ecstasy and showing symptoms of ecstasy. Tears were coming from his eyes. He told his Guru Maharaj, "What mantra is this? I become like a madman. I'm crying, I'm laughing, I'm dancing." "Very good, my child, very good." So, He immediately experienced ecstasy upon being initiated into the holy name and chanting the holy name with all sincerity. From there he went to Kanainatsala, and there he had a darshan of Krishna. He told the devotees when he went back to Mayapur, I went to Kanai and I saw Krishna. He was standing and he was calling, come on, come on. And I went there and he disappeared. You know, where is that Krishna? Just going to a mood of separation. This is a progression. We're talking about Nama Rupa Guna Leela. He experienced, Krishna is not different than his name. He was here next to him. He saw Krishna in Kanainatsala, Rupa. Guna, he was experiencing the qualities of Krishna. We can read in the Chaitanya-caritamrita, but this softness of Krishna's touch, the sweetness of Krishna's voice, the fragrance of Krishna's body. He's experiencing all these qualities of Krishna. His senses are... They're going towards the sense objects of Krishna. There's a battle going on. Simultaneously, all of his senses are going to all the objects at one time. So the guna, he was being revealed. And then we see Leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was unconscious, or externally. So all the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna. Then he wakes up. Why did you call me? I was there with all the shakis. We were picking flowers. We was going to make garlands for Radha Madhava. Why did you call me? Why did you wake me? Call me back. So Leela. So this is progression. Nama Rupa Guna Leela. Krishna reveals himself as Nama. That means you understand Krishna and his name is non-difference. You feel the presence of God by your side when you're chanting Hare Krishna. You realize the name is non-different than Krishna. He had that immediately because he was so sincere. He was acting as a bhakta avatar and he plays imperfection. Like Krishna played the child imperfection. So he plays a bhakta imperfection. And immediately he got results because of his sincerity. It wasn't because he was a supreme personality of Godhead. But because of his sincerity, he showed that the process is so perfect that immediately he felt the presence of Krishna, which caused his ecstasy to come from his eyes. He saw the form of Krishna. He realized the qualities of Krishna. And he actually entered into the Leela of Krishna. It all happened one after another, very quickly in Mahaprabhu's life. So this was to show it can happen very quickly. It's simply down to sincerity, how sincerely we are following. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed so sincerely that he had all these revelations that we're aspiring for by sincerity. He's playing imperfection. Yes, Prabhu.
Hi, Prabhu. Thank you very much. On this, these two questions are actually very good that Satchisanoi Prabhu asked. On the first one, I remember there was an incident with Yamuna Devi where she was cooking samosas and Prabhupada came in the kitchen and started eating them directly, immediately. I said, well, Prabhupada, they're not offered yet. He said, I'm the spiritual master. So she kept making and he kept eating right there in the kitchen. And then on the second one, there's really no room for debate on Lord Chaitanya's position. We are following in parampara, like we're hearing from you because you heard directly from Prabhupada. We know the position of the Panchatattva. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Nityananda is Balaram. You know, Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu. We know these things. So that's why they're on the altar. We're worshipping them in that mood. They are the supreme. We're not worshipping them like bhaktas. You may say, well, the gurus are devotees, they're on the altar. Yes, but we don't give them tulsi leaf, just like you said. You're giving Lord Chaitanya tulsi leaf, that means he's not an ordinary devotee. We're worshipping him in the mood of the Supreme Person. That's the mood of the worship on the altar. So there's no debate about is he this or is he that. They're there as the Panchatattva. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, Lord Balaram, Nityananda is Balaram, you know, Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu, that's why we worship them.
Yeah, thank you. And Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur also says about the Govardhan incidents that Radharani was actually deceived by Krishna when he manifested, because she has a conjugal relationship with Krishna, not a rock. Govardhan is a rock, a mountain, but she has a conjugal relationship with Krishna. So when Krishna manifested that form, Vishwanath Chakrabarti said she was deceived. He deceived Srimati Radharani. So those who are followers of Govardhana's Radha, they're following their leader is deceived. They're also being deceived. Hare Krishna. Yes.
I'm
sorry. Yeah.
So sometimes like there just isn't enough time to do something, or if you're just getting water and you're constantly taking water, and so sometimes devotees will say Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Where does that come from? Is that bona fide?
Oh, I think it's from Prabhupada, because it was very common during Prabhupada's presence, people would offer your prasadam saying Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, yeah, some fruit or something, or on this, wherever you are on the station. Or it was definitely during Prabhupada's time, so I guess it must have come from Prabhupada. No, he was waiting for this.
Hey, thank you, Prabhupada. I was just curious, wanted to see if you could explain a little bit more about just kind of like this principle, like, you know, you were saying you could, traditionally they wouldn't chant, you know, you'd have to chant the mantras in Sanskrit, but, you know, Prabhupada sanctioned that, you know, you could relate to Krishna in your own language. I was just wondering, like, how expansive that principle is, now there's like a lot of sort of conversations going on about, like, you know, well, What kind of food is it appropriate to offer to Krishna, or what kind of clothing is appropriate to offer to Krishna? I mean, in some sense, you know, we have, they talk about, you know, you can offer a favorite article to Krishna, either his favorite article or perhaps also one of your favorite things you can also offer. So it seems like there's kind of two sides to personalism, in the sense that, you know, on one side you have to treat Krishna as a person, but then in one sense you also don't lose your own personality, you don't lose your own existence either. So I was just wondering, like, you know, like there's other cases where, you know, for instance, like, you know, there's that one time where they dress one deity, you know, the deity in, like, you know, jeans and cell phone or something, and it was considered very offensive, you know. So I was wondering, like, where do you draw the line there?
Well, when you first meet the devotees and they say, you know, Krishna's a supreme personality of Godhead, you should offer your foodstuffs. And you think, oh, great. So you offer all your foodstuffs to Krishna, and everybody thinks that's fantastic. And especially, you know, the food I like, which is permissible. It says in the Shastra, you can offer a local delicacy if it's like locally. As a delicacy, you can also, if it's permissible, of course, there's no meat or fish or anything, it can be offered. So it's great. Everybody will, fantastic. He's offering his food now. It's becoming so. Then later, as we advance, and well, it's what I'm offering, what I like. But what does Krishna actually like? Then I will seek what Krishna likes, and then I will try to offer. So it's just we can make advancement by understanding how Krishna likes to be dressed. And Hare Krishna. So at least in the temple we should have a good standard. In the home, they may have their own standard. That's something else. But at least the temple should be setting standards. What Krishna reads, what Krishna wears.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for such a wonderful presentation. So, in the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, they had made this a book for worship, for deity worship. So, is that book like the standard for ISKCON worship?
Oh, no, that, what's his name, Pujari? Mukunda?
Mukunda Datta? Mukunda Datta?
Yeah, Mukunda Datta. I think he put it out, yeah?
Oh,
and no, it's like an Archana Padati. It's what they use in their temple, I think. Every temple has their own Archanapadati or process of the way they worship the deity. The Panchachika Pradeep was the official ISKCON GVC authorized book on deity worship. So you can make an Archanapadati for Rukmini Dorpatish Puja in this temple also if you like.
How do you define sincere, and what is it? What is it, and how does it relate to us individually? Sincerity. Just because I don't want to make sure I'm misunderstanding the word, that's important, right?
Prabhupada was asked the question, how do we become sincere? He said, by being sincere. Just put it into practice. At least make a show of being sincere. You may not. One time, it may have been Garga Muni, Prabhupada. Anyway, right in the early days, they were paying obeisances to Prabhupada when they chanted the Prem Dwani prayers, Jayam Vishnu Pada, and people were paying their obeisances. He didn't pay his obeisances. They said, no, you should bow down. He said, why? He said, anyway, we all bow down. And Prabhupada said, we should. He said, but I don't feel like bowing down, you know, when we're chanting these prayers. And I think spiritual life should be something very natural. I don't think be unnatural. It just feels that it's unnatural to bow down. And I just don't have a feeling for it. So why I should bow down? So they're all new devotees. Yes, pretty good argument. He couldn't answer his question. It doesn't feel proper. So then they asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, explain to him what had happened. And Prabhupada said, even if it may not feel good, he said, you do it anyway. And in time it will feel proper. But if you don't do it, forever you're saying, well, it doesn't feel good, it doesn't feel good, you'll never do it. But if you do it, and if you show us sincerely, showing you're doing it, even if you're not feeling for it, he said, that feeling will come anyway, that will develop naturally. So be sincere by being sincere. Put it into practice.
That reminds me of the saying, to be enthusiastic, act enthusiastic. That kind of idea.
Yeah.
It's about acting. It's not so much of a thinking. I don't know. Can I add a second part to that? I just came to mind. Sorry. Like, how do you know that you're continually to be sincere? Like, if it's not just a one-time thing, and so how do you know that you're not deviating?
No, you'll get some feeling from it after a while. It'll come naturally, you want to do it. The system works. It's been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's given by Rupa Goswami, there, Rupa Manjari, eternal associates of Radha and Krishna. They've all come here, and they're given this process. It works. Otherwise, they're fools. Why do they give a process that doesn't work? It's sadhana bhakti, vedi sadhana bhakti, but that's all we can handle because we can't handle it. We've lost our natural affection for Krishna. It's there in the heart, but it's covered. We've lost it. Mahaprabhu has come here, take chant, dance, ecstasy. Here it is, but we can't do it. It's too covered. You can't do it. Okay, second best. Here is vedi sadhana bhakti. Follow all these rules and regulations. It's second best, but it works. Otherwise, why the acharyas would give in? It's what we need. We've lost our spontaneity. It's too much covered. Yeah, Mataji?
Abandon the worship of Dwarka and give up the worship of Rukmini, and then we have Rukmini Dwarkadish here on our altar, and I understand that Prabhupada said that all the Radha Krishna deities in ISKCON are actually to be worshipped as Lakshmi Narayan. So I'm trying to understand, if you think of a deity as Rukmini and Dwarkadish for your whole life, then at the end you eventually, in order to attain pure devotional service, you abandon that? It's hard to understand. I'm sorry, I'm confused.
The last sentence, if you worship whole life Rukmini and...
If you're thinking of the worship of Rukmini and Dwarkadish your whole life, you're trying to... Because Lakshmi Narayan is actually below Rukmini and Dwarkadish, so in a way it's like breaking away from what Prabhupada said to even think of them as Rukmini and Dwarkadish. It's even higher than Lakshmi Narayan. So if you're thinking of Rukmini and Dwarkadish your whole life, is that going to be pure devotional service?
It's pure devotional service, but not pure unalloyed devotional service. There's a difference. Prabhupada mentions pure devotion service. You remember meditating on Rukmini and Krishna in Dwarka, you'll go to Dwarka. You won't go to Vaikuntha because you're worshipping a two-armed form, which is not Chakrabartis. If you're worshipping a two-armed form, you won't go to Vaikuntha. But there, Krishna has two arms in Dwarka. But if you meditate on there in Dwarka, you'll go there. Whatever you're thinking of, Krishna says that state you will attain without fail. So it's pure devotional service. Prabhupada called Braja Bhakti pure unalloyed devotional service. It's unalloyed. There's not the majesty of Rukmini and Dwarka as a king and queen is not there in Radha and Krishna. So these Radha and Krishna are always the devas. According to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's given us our identity. I'm not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Sannyas, Vannaprastha. I identify myself only as servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis, Radha and Krishna. So, as follows of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we accept this identity, that we are the servant of the servant of Gopinath. So he is the Ishtadeva, he is the ultimate worshipful object of Krishna for the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is, see, Mahaprabhu has come to give this Braja Bhakti, which is Parakya Rasa. It's very, very uncommon. This is only exhibited once in the day of Brahma when the original personality of Godhead comes. The rest of the time it's Shwakya Rasa. Krishna's married and so what we've been taught is Krishna in Vrindavan. So that's the unalloyed devotional service that Prabhupada mentions. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Sorry, I'm late.
Brahmananda Prabhu was giving class and he said that the reason why Srila Prabhupada established Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan was to show the world that Krishna Balaram and Gornitai were not different. So to have Lord Chaitanya wearing a peacock feather, that would support that idea because people would see, yes, Lord Chaitanya's wearing a peacock feather. So he must be Krishna himself.
Thank you. I'm sorry we've gone on very late. It's breakfast time. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you. Hare Krishna.